Forgiving me. You see the double entendre there? Not only does he give us thanksgiving, but he gives us forgiveness of sins through the offering of his son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us thanksgiving. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. A pastor has a habit. His habit is every night when he goes to bed, he sets his alarm clock for 6:33. 6:33 a.m., and some days he wakes up before the alarm goes off, and some days the alarm rouses him and gets him out of bed. 6:33, so that when he sees the numbers on his alarm clock, that he doesn't forget Matthew 6:33. And then he prays, "Dear Jesus, help me to seek first the kingdom of God this day. Help me today to seek your righteousness. I want your will to be done in my life and in the world. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you have promised that those who seek your kingdom and righteousness will have everything else added as well. Help me keep first things first. Amen." 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is the antidote, the answer that Jesus gives in his Sermon on the Mount to those who are compulsive worriers, anxious all the time. Some people will worry themselves sick, others will worry themselves to death. Anxiousness, anxiety disorders. When you think about being overly anxious about something, not just, "Well, I worry for you," or "I worry about you" in terms of behaviors, choices, decisions you're making. But people who are obsessively anxious, 13 million people in the United States. Psychologists say that there's at least 15 million Americans who spend at least 90 minutes every day worrying, being anxious. I shared this text that we're looking at tonight, Matthew chapter 6 from Jesus Sermon on the Mount, with the men at the Bible study this past week. And one of the gentlemen said, "You know, I wasn't worried about anything. Now you got me anxious." What are we worried about? Are we worried that maybe we're one of those 13 or 15 million people who are obsessively anxious? Has anybody ever called you a worrywart? And what is it that you worry most about? According to Paul's letter to Timothy, God desires everyone to be saved. If we're going to worry about something, in other words, be anxious in a good kingdom of God way, then let's be anxious about telling the story of Jesus and his love, and bringing that gift of life and hope and salvation to the world. That would be something good to worry about. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said, "Why are you so worried and anxious and afraid of those who can destroy the body, the human flesh and blood? If you want to really be anxious about something, be anxious about the one that can destroy body and soul in Gehenna." Don't be anxious. Repeatedly, Jesus says in our text for tonight, stop worrying. Put it to bed. My wife shared with me the other day, she said, "I've decided to stop worrying about waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I get so much done between 3 and 5 a.m. It's just a different body clock. So rather than being anxious about it, well, let's see it as a beatitude, a blessing. And let's see what God can make of it." The word worry comes from an Anglo-Saxon word that means to choke. And that's what happens when we become overly worried. We choke the very life out of ourselves and others. Worrying about what the weather is going to be like. Worrying about if we're going to have the right kind of food for company tomorrow at Thanksgiving. Worrying about so many little things. And all the worrying in the world isn't going to change the circumstances. Someone has said that worrying is like being in a car and having one foot on the accelerator and the other foot on the brake, and the engine is revving and you're burning rubber, but the tires are going nowhere at all. Or like sitting in a rocking chair, which can be an activity, I suppose, but you rock and you get nowhere. So why do we worry? And what are we worried about? Jesus says, don't be anxious. And yet there are things we probably should worry about given the world that we live in. The name Peter Gould, 25 years old, fourth year of medical school, Tulane's University Medical School in New Orleans. Last Friday, he decided to be a good Samaritan at 4 a.m. when he was coming home. He sees that a woman is being dragged, abducted by someone, and he gets out of his car at 4 a.m. He's calling the cops and stuff. He goes over there to put a stop to this, because that's what good Samaritans do, right? He's a Jewish boy, but he knows the story of the good Samaritan. And so he intervenes, and the guy with the gun puts him up against the wall and says, give me your money. He says, I don't have anything on me. And he shoots him right in the gut. And Peter Gould crumples over on the sidewalk. It's all on the surveillance video right outside of the location where it was happening. And then he puts the gun down there. And this guy's name is Cain. I saw the name Cain, and I thought immediately of like Cain and Abel, you know, in the Bible. This guy's name's Cain. He's got the gun. He puts it down there on Peter Gould's head, pulls the trigger, but it's jammed. And he tries to fix it. And he tries another couple of times, and then eventually realizes that the cops can be coming, and he gets in an SUV, and he hits the road. Peter Gould is in the hospital in serious condition, but improving. So you hear about stories like that and you say, well, see, Pastor Dave, that's why I'm worried. That's why I'm anxious. That's why I don't stop and pick somebody up alongside the road. That's why we lock our doors and put deadbolts on them, and then we have security systems and stuff, because we got a lot to worry about. And I'm worried about not worrying enough, huh? Anxious. People are anxious. In the Bible, a key story about being anxious is the story that follows the parable of the Good Samaritan. Remember in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sets it up, and he has a lawyer come up to him, and the lawyer says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the law say? And this lawyer, this student of the Torah, he recites a verse from the Shema, Deuteronomy 6, and a verse from the Holiness Code, Leviticus 19. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus, thumbs up. Way to go. Good. And the guy, seeking to justify himself, and that's always the problem when we try to justify ourselves, isn't it? That always makes God anxious. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then he says, go and do likewise. Jesus is the Good Samaritan. He gets down in the ditch. He makes himself unclean for us. He who knew no sin became sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He binds up our wounds and he pays for our care, yea, even our salvation. And then Jesus is traveling with his disciples to Bethany, the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And Martha maybe wasn't expecting this large of a crowd in their small home. But she knows that hospitality, being a good hostess, requires that you put the vittles out. And so Martha starts working and working and working and working, and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, which of course in the New Testament is the posture of a disciple, a student who is learning. Martha's had enough of it. She comes into Jesus and said, "Don't you care? Don't you care, Jesus? I mean, can you see the finger pointing? Don't you care that my sister is sitting here and she's left me to do all the serving?" You remember what Jesus said to Martha? "Martha, Martha, 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 Martha. You're going to worry yourself to death, Martha. You worry, Martha? Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful." And Mary, she's chosen the good portion. Ain't nobody going to take it away from her. Nobody. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well." First things first. What's important? Don't be anxious. Be thankful that God has given you his only begotten Son, Jesus, who puts everything else in its place. Want an illustration, Jesus says? Just use your eyes for a minute. You see those birds out there? They don't toil. God makes sure they have nests. God makes sure that they've got food to eat. You see those beautiful lilies? I mean, even Solomon wasn't dressed like that. So if God, your Father, takes care of little birds and lilies, don't you think that he's going to take care of the one that he has created in his own image? Don't you think? Every single hair on your head is numbered. Think about that. O ye of little faith. Where's your faith? Just look around, Jesus says. Instead of listening to the news and despairing about how things are bad and getting worse, lift up your heads and see the salvation of God coming your way. Don't be anxious. Be thankful. That doesn't mean that life isn't going to have its heartaches and hardships. The Pilgrims knew it. Squanto knew it. I'm not a country bluegrass fan. But if you are, you probably know the name Joey and Rory Feek. And even if you're not a country bluegrass fan, I encourage you to Google this and to learn more about this story. This is an amazing story of faith and faithfulness. They were married in 2002. They are fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. They have always used their lives and their music to serve God, to praise Jesus. Amazing people. They're working on what will probably be the final album of theirs together. It's favorite hymns from the church that have brought them comfort over the years. Joey is 40 years old. Joey and Rory have a little 2-year-old that was born in February of 2014. A little girl called Indiana is her full name. Indy was born with Down syndrome. And her best friend is a little girl with special needs, all kinds of health problems, called Scout. And Scout's parents told them, they said, "This is going to be one of God's greatest gifts to you. Just wait and see." That was in February. In May of 2014, Joy was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer, terminal. Went through the most radical surgery you can go through, and prayed and hoped that God was going to give her more time. And it looked like everything was going well, and then all of a sudden, recently, the cancer has returned, and now she's on hospice. They left their home in Tennessee. They've moved back to the home that she grew up in Indiana, probably where the name of her daughter came from, Indy. Roy said, "We're not going back to Indiana to die. We're going back there to live so that we can hold each other's hands, so that we can watch our little girl playing in front of our eyes, so that we can be around family and special memories." Joey said, "I'm not questioning God, and I'm not angry at God or at cancer." She said, "I'm just disappointed." And she began to cry, and she said, "Because I thought I'd maybe be the exception. But I guess God has given me the joy of singing praise to him here on earth, and he'll let me continue to sing with the others in heaven for eternity." Recently, they delivered a walker to the house for Joey. She looked at Rory and she said, "I'm not going to use that. That's for old people." And then she laughed and she got up and she said, "Indy, come here." And she put Indy on the seat of the walker and was wheeling her little one around the kitchen. And then, just recently, from their good friends, the parents of little Scout. And Scout had gone to a horse ranch, a camp, for kids that are facing all kinds of health issues. And so they sent to Joey a text of this little girl Scout on this huge horse at camp. And Joey saw the text, and she started to weep. And she looked at Rory and she said, "I want to raise our baby. I want to be the one to teach her." And Rory said, "All I could do, I didn't know what to say. All I could do was just hold her as she held her phone with the text of little Scout on that big horse." And then Roy said, like manna from above, Joey looked out the window and there were these huge flakes of snow falling down. And she smiled, and then she smiled really big. And she said, "I didn't think I'd get to see the snow again in this life. If this is the last time I get to see it, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She's hoping that she lives to Christmas. She's hoping that she can live to February when little Indiana celebrates her second birthday. And she says, "This is my prayer. Pray for a miracle. But even more so, that God would give me peace with his decision." And the song that they had on the website that she was singing, that'll be on her Valentine's Day song that they're going to put out, this album, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows flow, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Jesus started his Sermon on the Mount with these words, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you poor. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you peacemakers who are persecuted for the name of Jesus. You are blessed, not because your circumstances are always favorable, but because you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, you are God's leaven, a city on a hill that can't be hid. Blessed are you. So don't be anxious. It's wasted energy. Unproductive. Be thankful. And before you go to bed, set your alarm clock for 6:33 a.m. Whether you wake up before it or afterwards, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added unto you as well. Everything that God has created and redeemed you for. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us thanksgiving. Amen. We rise.